It's just like a fun day for me because I love preaching and I love U.S. history. And so it's like a mix of two different things. So if I get off and I start doing an old lesson plan from my high school days, just remind me to get back on track. And if you need one of the children's coloring sheets or note sheets, you can come up front and get one of those as well. So today we're continuing our series, Walk by Faith. We started this the Sunday after our annual conference of South Carolina, the United Methodist Church. And we started looking at how we were walking as a church, as individuals, if we're walking by faith or if we're walking by sight. Then we looked at, are we hearers or doers of the word? And we looked at Matthew's gospel where we see that hearers, those that hear and then build on sand, they're like a foolish builder whose lives will come crumbling down. But those that hear and then do will build on the rock that is Jesus, and their lives will never give way to the storms. Then we looked at Jesus being the light of the world last week with our theme from Vacation Bible School. And we said that Jesus is the light, but then there's all these other lights that distract us. And we asked, what light are we following? So the question I want to ask you today to consider during our time together is, are you living free? Are you living free? Today's scripture is going to be found in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 31 through 36. And you can find that on page 871 in your pew Bible, or if you're on your device or in your own Bible, John 8, verse 31. I do invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel lesson this morning. Starting with verse 31 of the 8th chapter of John. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't care what that little boy told you. These chains are extremely heavy. John Wesley was often asked, "What is a Methodist?" He wrote this, "I answer, a Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost given unto him. One who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. God is the joy of his heart and the desire of his soul, which is constantly crying out, 'Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is no one upon earth that I desire beside thee. My God and my all, thou art the strength of my heart and my portion forever.'" That was in the character of a Methodist, written by John Wesley in 1742. But the early Methodists had a strong focus on love and grace. In today's scripture lesson, we see that Jesus is talking to a group of new believers. And he tells them, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then just like any other time when Jesus says something borderline controversial, a debate breaks out. And these Jews, they start saying, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved by anybody. And little, they must not have paid attention in history class, because even during this time, they were under the authority of the Roman government. So yes, technically, they may not have been slaves, but they were not free like they proclaimed to be. But then Jesus goes a little deeper with them. And anytime Jesus says anything, we should pay attention. But when he starts with "very truly," we really need to pay attention. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus is basically telling them and all of us that we are enslaved to sin and therefore have no place in the Master's home. We are all bound or chained by something. But if the Son claims you to be free, you will be free indeed. We know the rest of the story. Jesus then took our sins upon himself and died on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and then he taught, and then he ascended into heaven. And then we get to make the choice, the decision, at some point in our lives to faithfully follow him, to take up our cross and to be his disciples. Our freedom is twofold. It's instantaneous. It happens in that moment, and that's called justification. And then it's continuous, and that's called sanctification. They're laughing because it's all I talk about in Bible study. It's instantaneous. The moment we accept, Jesus says, "Father, I set them free of the chains that bind their hearts." And then it's continuous. It's an ongoing process. much like the early Methodists, the issue of freedom, the issue of living a free life by faith really comes down to love and grace. That's what really sets us free, is the grace and the love of God because of what Christ did on the cross. Mike Vickle puts it this way: we will never have more affection or passion for God than we have understanding He has for us. You follow that? We will never be able to love God more than we realize He loves us. I started thinking this week as that quote was read out in class, and it hit me right in my heart that I've got a 9-month-old, 10-month-old today, little girl, I caught myself, and she loves me. Her eyes light up occasionally, not so much this week because I've been gone for a week, but normally her eyes light up. She laughs at what I say. She used to say dada before she learned mama, and now she doesn't say anything to me. But I know in my heart she loves me. I've got a 7-year-old little boy who was very special to me, and I know that he loves me. And I know that as they get older, that love will change. But do you know what would break my heart? What would break my heart if that the moment I saw my children, the instant I laid my eyes on them, I loved them with all I had. And that love continued as they grew older. But what would break my heart is if my 7-year-old son still only loved me like my 9-month or 10-month-old daughter does. What will break my heart is when my son's 25, he still only loves me at the same level as he does now as a 7-year-old. That would shatter my heart if his love for his father didn't grow. But the only way his love for his father or his mother or his grandmothers or his grandfather or his aunts or his uncles, the only way our love can grow is when we realize that there's more love given to us. When my son turns 18 or 20 and we have to start having those adult problems, he should still be able to see that his father loves him more and more and more. And out of that love, he should then love me more and more and more. Our walk with Christ should be the same way. We should not love Christ at the same level that we love Christ the moment we accepted him. We should not love Christ or love our neighbor the same way today as we did when we first became a Christian. It should be instantaneous, but also continuous. And we can only love God more when we realize how much he loves us. That he gave his only son for us. Parents, grandparents, I want you to think about the magnitude of that statement. He gave his only child for you and for me. I wouldn't give my little boy for any. Or for any of you. I wouldn't give my son up for anybody in this whole world. But God did. And when I wrap my head around how much he loves me, it should drive me to love him more. So Tuesday, how many of you are planning on barbecuing or swimming or going to the lake? The rest of you need to tell the truth. Y'all going to do something to celebrate. Y'all plan on eating or something. I know you will. But I want you to imagine for a minute if this happened. Let's say in 1776, a bunch of rebels declared their independence from the king. And then in 1781, at the Battle of Yorktown, the British surrendered because they were trapped. And the king had to give up all the authority he had over these people. And then in 1783, they signed the Treaty of Paris. And then they started struggling with what their first document of governing was, called the Articles of Confederation. And so they started drafting a constitution. And that constitutional convention went terrible, for those of you that don't know. It was awful. They could not agree on anything. What if in the middle of that debate, in the middle of their struggles, they said, that's it, call the king back. Just come home, we're done. This whole freedom thing isn't worth it. And they invited Great Britain back to rule over them again. Now, how silly and foolish would that be? Some of you are looking at me like I just said some type of blasphemous statement. But church, is that not what we do? See, Christ says you've been set free. He takes our chains away from us. And he hangs them on the cross. And then as soon as our walk with Christ gets hard, pick them right back up. And we put them right back on. And we go back to living in the same rut that we were just set free from by the blood of our Savior. We're all bound by something that Christ has already set us free from. But yet we willingly pick back up these chains and we wear them around. And we can never fully love God or our neighbor when we got our chains wrapped around us. Richard Foster said, "The love of the Father is like a sudden rain shower that will pour forth when you least expect it. When this happens, do not put up an umbrella to protect yourself, but rather stand in the drenching, lovely rain of the Father." It's our human nature to put up umbrellas when it rains, isn't it? Sometimes those umbrellas, sometimes our chains are walls that we've built around our heart because our human heart's been hurt so many times that we will protect ourselves by building up walls around us and we'll never be vulnerable again, even with God. Sometimes those walls we build up, those chains we put on, those umbrellas that we carry, it's because we have a disappointment or we blame God for something we've gone through in our lives. Sometimes the umbrellas, the chains, are that we believe the lies of the enemy that says, "He doesn't love you. Look at you. You know what you've done. God can't love you." I bought into that lie so many times that I can't figure out why I keep listening to that voice. But that's one of the chains I pick up and put back on. Sometimes the umbrella we carry is that we know when we take these chains off, it's going to require a deeper level of commitment to our Savior. And we're comfortable sitting in our pews for an hour on Sunday and hopefully not being too bored by the preacher, and then we'll go to lunch and then we'll see you next Sunday. We don't want the Monday through Saturday discipleship that comes with taking our chains off and living in the freedom that Christ calls us to. When we put our umbrellas up and we put these chains on, we are not capable of being the people or being the church that we are called to be. In one study done, a group was asked to pick a word that defined how God felt towards them. Was God mad? Was God sad? Or was God glad when he looked at them? Church, 85% said he was either mad or sad. Only 15% said he was glad. We live in a world that tells us we can't be forgiven, we can't be loved. That we serve a mad and an angry and a disappointing God. But the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ, tells us that our Heavenly Father is glad when he looks down at us. And that he wants us to live in the freedom that comes from that. E. Stanley Jones says, "I am grateful I do not have to love. I have to allow love to love me into loving." See, I don't have to love God by myself because I'm not capable of it. I have to allow God to love me into loving him. Because when I truly experience the freedom and the love and the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, I truly have all the power I need to take those off forever. Forever. I don't ever have to put those back on again. And this week I sat in class, and I think I'm going to close with this. I don't know. And my heart broke when my professor was doing his devotion. And he told a story, and he stopped, and he said, "Maybe it's that some of you, because you think you're seminary students and you think you're pastors, you measure your success and you measure your love for God based on the fruit and the production at your church, the amount of people that show up. Maybe you measure it based on the grades you make, but maybe what God's saying is, I miss you. I miss you, and you bound yourself up in the production of grades, and you bound yourself up in measuring yourself in things that you aren't, and I just miss loving you." And my heart broke, and I almost started crying, but what I did instead is I said, "Dr. Siemens, will you please repeat that?" He was confused, so he repeated it. And in that moment, what I realized God was speaking into my heart was I was struggling to love him and to love my neighbor in the freedom that I've been given because I have failed to stop and to continue in his word and to continue to fall deeper in love with my God and my Savior. We cannot love our God and our Savior the same today that we did 3 years ago or that we did 10 years ago. You've all got a link to a chain. If you don't, I'll get you one. Did y'all get them? We celebrate our freedom this week, and I love Independence Day. I love the history of our nation. I love those that have served and taught it passionately for 7 years. And I hope I don't offend anybody, but I don't love that nearly as much as I do the freedom that Christ gives me. See, I don't want to come to church just so I can get a get-out-of-hell-free card. I want a deeper relationship with God because I know how much he loves me. And I want to love him more. Because I know in loving him more, I'll be set free from the things that bind me up. Then I can go out and love others. Think back to when Jesus is standing on the beach with Peter. He asks him two questions. Well, he asks him a question, and then he gives him a command. He says, do you what? Love me. Peter says yes, and he says, then feed my sheep. He said, do you love me first? Then he gave him the command to go and serve. We must fall deeper in love with God before we can go and serve. I want you to think as I pray and close it. What's your link? What's your chain? What's your umbrella that's blocking you from the drenching rain? That is the loving rain of the Father coming down. What is it that binds your heart that continues to pull you away from the freedom that God's given you to fall in love with Him? Whatever it is, hold it in your hand and name it. During this prayer, don't say it out loud, but just name it in your heart. And in a minute when we come take communion, the baskets will be back up here, and leave them on the altar. Leave them on the altar and trust that His promise that to set us free, that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So church, when we leave today, we ought to leave a bunch of free people. We ought to leave a little lighter than we came in, because you should leave something at this altar that you don't want to take with you anymore, because it has already done enough damage in your life. Those are heavy. And when we let them get around our heart, and when we let them get around our faith, they just get heavier and heavier. Let's pray.